This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. I'm really excited that you're here. I have a great friend of the podcast, and I am excited to introduce you to her, and I'm actually very interested to learn more details about her as well. It is Rochelle Jo Daugherty. All right, actually, we were just talking about pronunciations of last names, but Rochelle is, she is a speaker, she's a teacher, she is the leader of a ministry called Woman of Warfare. She actually just put out a book in March of 2025 called Speak Life, which is a nice devotional. It looks beautiful. And she leads a podcast called The Beautifully Broken Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm excited to be here and just to have this opportunity to share some of my story and see where God takes it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we love to hear stories on this podcast. That's for sure. Because stories really are what connect us as people, right? And that's how Jesus taught. It was always with a story. So I was surprised to learn that you are a mom of seven children.
Yes.
My goodness. And you're sane. I'm kidding.
That's a miracle just in itself.
So what are the ages of your kiddos?
So my four older kids, I have four adult children. So from my first marriage. So they are, I hope I get this right. They're 32. The oldest is 32, 30, 29, and 27, I think. And then the youngest three with my husband and I now, we have twin boys that will be 13 next month. And nice. Then a little girl that's 11.
Wow. Wow.
And
so you
10 grandkids, I think.
10 grandkids. Wow.
My oldest daughter has six kids. And then one of my sons just had his first. And then my youngest daughter has three.
Wow.
Six, seven, eight, 10. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that you were a grandma at all. So that's surprising to hear, but grandkids are a wonderful gift. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's really neat. But I was like, seven children. Oh my goodness. How do you wrangle all those kiddos? But having four older, I guess that makes it a little bit easier, a little gap between
Yes.
them, right?
Yes,
Four
for sure.
older, three
There
younger.
is, I think a 14 or 15 year gap between my youngest of the first set and then my oldest of the second set.
Yeah.
But
What a gift.
yeah, I was 16. And when I was pregnant with my oldest one. So,
oh, gotcha. Yeah.
you know, that makes a difference in the age difference there, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah,
I was
because
a teen having I had two kids before I graduated high school.
oh my
My two oldest.
goodness. And you graduated high school. That's
And I graduated, yeah.
That's saying something. Because, you know, like I've known plenty of friends that, you know, they had a high school pregnancy and then they just would quit high school. And so I think it takes it's absolutely the right thing, but it takes a lot of strength to become a young mother and to graduate high school. And so if you had two that you were trying to raise, you're young yourself, trying to get through high school, my goodness, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, I barely graduated, but I did graduate.
But you graduated, that's right.
I had an English teacher. So my first husband, we met when I was 13 and then started dating. And then we had the two before, you know, I graduated from high school. But like every day I wanted to just quit. But I had this English teacher named Miss Broyles. And she, every single day, I remember my senior year, she's like, Rochelle, you're not quitting. You can do this. She just kind of gave me like enough love and compassion, but with a little toughness too, to just push me.
Yeah.
Every single day, she's like, you're not quitting. You're not quitting.
Wow.
And that really just, it was like, that was what I needed to just keep going.
Man, that's
And
sweet.
I managed to graduate, so
Wow. Shout out to her. That's
yep.
really great that you had that kind of like support and someone behind you saying like you can do this.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Teachers do so many wonderful things for us, and sometimes I think we forget. I mean, not in your case, but I mean just even teachers have they build the society. People can't read or write or do the things that we do without teachers. So that's
Yeah.
awesome. So getting into today's episode, share a little bit about who you are and a little bit about your faith journey.
So that's a broad question,
It is a
but
broad question.
I'll say I grew up in the church. So I grew up at Heritage Fellowship. It's a church in Florence, Kentucky.
Was that
And
Cletty Keith? Was that,
yes.
yeah.
Yep. And so I grew up, knowing about God, having a relationship with him. But also I grew up with a lot of childhood sexual abuse. And that came from family members, came from family friends, someone from not from that church, but a different church that came to a Bible study at my parents' house. Many different people. And so even though I grew up in a Christian home, a lot of I know the trauma that my mom had growing up in her home affected the way that we were raised. So it's kind of like, one of those things where, my mom is the one that got saved. She's the one that taught us, about going to church and having a relationship with Christ. But she was also a lot of the reason a lot of things that kind of just happened. Like she went through a lot of stuff that was never healed. So, unhealed trauma that affects every relationship you have. And so there was a lot of things that I know were known that was happening that just were covered up, kind of like shoved under the rug. Didn't I have realized that a lot of sexual abuse in families is just very hidden and covered up. And even in Christian households, it's just like, we were told just like don't talk about it. You just ignore it and pretend like it doesn't happen. And it's a very, very common thing. It's more shocking when a parent actually supports the child and believes the child rather than not. And like my experience, like I've been doing hair for let's see, 27 years. And so like I've been worked with women for ever and hearing just a lot of stories from different clients and friends and even people like in the within the ministry and stuff like that, it's such a common thing that when you hear it's almost not even it's shocking because it's so such a horrific thing to go through, but at the same time it's just like so common.
I've heard it said that it's more traumatic after you share your story than the actual event when you're not believed. I've heard so many people say that, like, I went through this very traumatic thing, but it was even more traumatic when I tried to share with someone that I thought would keep me safe or would believe me and all the things, and they didn't believe me, which you're right, it is more common than it is not. Like I could probably count on my hand going through childhood sexual trauma through Crossroads, that group, how many people actually were believed as opposed to the ones that were not. So it's a very common but sad like detail of some of that kind of trauma.
It is. And I'm not sure. I think there's, I feel like it's pride, a lot of pride with within the family. Like they don't want to stir up any trouble within the family if they were to confront the other person. I'm not sure, but
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I know when I got pregnant with my oldest daughter, I know my mom had a lot of pride, but I think it's such a hard thing to explain because, I know what she went through in her own childhood from her parents and other relatives, just other people with her own abuse. But it's like when that's so unhealed that it's you repeat the behavior or you allow that behavior to be repeated to your own children. And you almost like she had almost like a delusional type of forgive and forget. Yeah, you can forgive someone, but you can have a healthy boundary and protect a child too. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
She almost took it to like the extreme of that's almost how she dealt with it herself, is to almost she had this own delusional life that she made up in her own head that to help herself deal with her own trauma. But then, does that even make sense?
It does. And
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the fact that you had not only your own trauma, but you had inherited trauma from her. And you can think of inherited trauma as, generational sin or
Oh, yeah.
generational curse, right? So she's dealing with hers. And so, yeah, that why that filtered how she reacted and did things and all of the stuff, that was an extra layer even for you. With your experience, and then you've got inherited trauma on top of that. So that's a lot.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of generational stuff there. And one thing with me is like growing up, I didn't remember really much of my childhood up until I was probably like 8 or 9 years old. I feel like that was kind of like when I actually started to remember my childhood pretty clearly. So like as I got older, I knew something was not right. Like, why did I not remember my childhood? Like, there's something not right there. And I know my older siblings and other family relatives, I knew there was an uncle that had done things because that was out in the open and it was very clear. Everyone knew about it, but nothing was done about it. Everyone just ignored it. And so as I got older, like, I always felt like, it's like I knew something happened, even though I had no actual memory of it. And then as I got older and into my adulthood, probably about 5 years ago, God started bringing up things to me. And he started giving me like a lot of dreams, a lot of visions, and going through serious deep healing. And he started to actually bring up memories and bring up certain scenes of a house, of a specific room, of a person. And I would know what happened even though I didn't see it happen. So it's like he actually plucked out certain memories with certain people as I was ready to be healed from those.
Wow. So he gave you room to start processing and
Yes.
not have to process certain parts of it.
Yeah, so it started from like I know a lot of people may not understand like how deep God like actually is. Like it blows my mind how he the very first time he gave me a vision was I saw myself as like a somewhere between 3 to 5 years old little girl and behind this black, it was just like a black door, a door of blackness. And behind it, it was myself as 3 to 5 years old with a man. And I just felt this overwhelming like sadness. And I just was like bawling and crying. And it was like that was the first time he showed me that's when the sexual abuse actually started. And then as I would work through that, he would heal me of that. It would be another scene and then another scene. So even though like I didn't rem well, like your body remembers.
Right,
Your
right. Yep.
remembers.
It is all stored for sure.
Yes. And I started doing some research, like what is this? How do I not have the actual memories? They're stored in there somewhere. But I've lived through all the effects of the trauma, but I don't have the, oh, this exactly happened to me. This is when, this is how, this is what, and this is who. And it I found the, I think it's called disassociation, where the trauma is so bad as a child, you actually almost like remove yourself from your body mentally. So your body remembers the trauma, but your mind somehow can block it, block that memory.
You can have repressed memories, but your body remembers all of it. And I've seen like where individuals will have a huge disconnect from their body, and they don't understand why, like eating disorder, some other things, and it can come out of like early trauma like that, but they have no memory of it at all. But like their body knows, like it does. Like there's a really great book, and I forget who wrote it was, but it was called The Body Keeps Score, and
Yes,
that,
I think I've heard of that book. Yeah.
it talks all about how you may not be thinking consciously of the trauma, but your body stores all of that, and it's played out in a lot of different ways. So that's what that reminds me of, is you're talking about, you didn't remember specifics, but you knew your body did, like
Yeah.
remembered all the stuff. So
And it was just like, oh, this always this feeling of like, I just knew something had to have happened. Like, even though I didn't have like those specific memories. And then even just recently, probably like 3 months ago, my pastor was actually praying for me and he had a vision. And he asked me, I won't give the specific identification of the person, like the description, because like my goal isn't to demonize anyone. This is literally how God works. This is the most recent, just a couple months ago. My pastor was praying for me and he asked me if I had been, molested or sexually abused or something like by this certain person that looked a certain way. The description of the man that he saw was so detailed and specific. And I've known only known my pastor for 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Like he did, it was like so specific. And I was like, I came home and I was like, I couldn't even think of who this person could have been. So I was talking to my sister. I was like, do you remember someone that looked like this, 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 and this, and this? And she was like, no, I can't even think of like, and then instantly the Holy Spirit brought the man to my mind. And I instantly knew who remembered his name, who it was. And he used to come to my parents' Bible study from a church that grew at that time. It's like, oh my goodness, that's who it is. But that's how God works. Like, he told someone that didn't even know anything about like that history of me or the person in such specific detail. And he brought that up when I was ready to be healed from that specific person. And it just
That's
all made
amazing.
it's like mind blowing the way like it sounds crazy. Does it sounds crazy, but that's just how God is. And I'm always praying like if there's anything hidden, if there's anything unhealed or anything that I don't even realize that I need to be healed from, to reveal it to me. Because I want to be healed from everything, even if it hurts for it to be brought back up. I don't care what it is. Like I just want to be free. And And that was like, I think the most unexpected one of all. Everyone that he's revealed to me. And it just was mind blowing.
You know what I was gonna say I find this amazing, but I'll ask the question. Was the fact that one of your abusers was in the church, was a follower of, well, seemingly a follower of Jesus, did that not create any kind of church hurt or like a buffer that kept you from knowing God, or did God just blow past that and that was never an issue?
I would say because I didn't remember that specific trauma during my life, does that make sense? That specific event, probably, maybe it didn't, I just didn't realize it. But other events with other church people that I do remember just going through, yeah, there's definitely been like church hurt, but was I more shocked because it was someone from church? Not really. Not really. I
That's
think
good.
because I grew up with in church and with parents that allowed things to happen that it was not really that shocking. It in that ex aspect, it was just more of like all the family friends. I always had a weird feeling, and I also knew that specifically, like they did to other people.
Which is sad.
So those were more expected, even though it was still. Like it was almost more like God confirming and giving me specific, like literally room details. Like I remember a family friend, like God, I mean, to the T in this kitchen. And then I remembered, like, as soon as he showed me the room, the decor, the colors, everything, I remembered the person. I remembered that room. And that was the family friend. But this person, like, I remember him being like, I was even older. I was like 10 or 11 years old. And this person being like very religious, like over the top religious. And he came to our house for one of my parents, for our parents' Bible study. But other than that, I don't remember much else about him, but I for some reason, all of the other times God revealed things to me, I didn't feel as much anger. I don't know if maybe because I just kind of expected it, maybe,
Yeah,
but with
you didn't put God with it.
maybe that maybe well, actually, now that you said that, maybe that's. Maybe that is why,
That's
because
good,
this,
though.
yeah, because this was a Christian and the other ones were not.
It's interesting. Yeah, people, I think that until you get to a certain maturity level in your walk with Christ and you understand relationship level connection with God, and when stuff happens in the church, you're or with someone who is a believer, you can separate out a church body or another Christian from who God is. But if you're pretty new in the faith and you're just trying to figure stuff out, sometimes the two are like laying over one another. So you might be mad at a Christian, but you associate it with God. So it's like I said, getting to a certain maturity level with your walk with God that you can not associate that. So in your like starting to have God reveal this to you and unravel that this experience of abuse that you didn't remember the specific details of, Were you an autopilot in your life before God started revealing this? Like, were you just like, I'm just living life, I'm just going, things are okay? Or was this early on in your life when God really started revealing it and unraveling it?
Like the first vision memory that he gave me was probably like 4 years ago.
So it's been pretty recent.
It's been pretty recent. But
Okay.
like before that, so I think it also stems from like my biological father like just disappeared. So I've never met him, which that could be a whole other podcast. But I
We may
think
need to visit that.
that was the root that started it at birth. And then all the sexual trauma, my whole childhood fed into that initial root that caused like my whole life to be like always like needing attention from men, like to a point of like it controlled me. And then after my first divorce, that's when like I started drinking. And then that led into a whole other slew of like I was suicidal for so long for a while. And but it all came to all of the sexual abuse, my biological father like just leaving and disappearing. And I was with God like this whole time. Like I went to church and I had a relationship with God, like I've had like spiritual experiences with God and with like also seen a lot of demonic stuff too. I've
I bet.
experienced on both sides.
Yeah.
And so, but even then, like my whole life, I was still bound. I was still broken. I was still oppressed by demonic spirits. I was
Yeah.
still unhealed, even though I had the truth in my hands. Like I knew the truth. I had the Bible. I had a relationship with God. I read the Bible. I went to church regularly, was very involved in church my whole life. But yet there was still something that just was not breaking there. But in 2020, a situation happened where I was drinking, and my youngest daughter from my older kids was like, "Mom, you really need to just stop drinking." And no one had really told me that. It was kind of like because I didn't drink like every single day all the time. Like, you know how people have a certain thing of like what they think alcoholic is? There's many variations of alcoholics.
Yes.
If you're using anything to numb yourself, you have a problem. Whether it's every day, whether it's 2 times a month, it doesn't matter. You have a problem. And it was when I stopped drinking in July of 2020 was when my life actually started to transform, like really transform. So I'd say the past 5 years have been where I've been through so much deliverance. I've had like total, my mind, just my mind is like, I don't hate myself anymore. I'm not constantly on that loop of like, shame. Like shame is such a big thing. Like I have no shame. I don't feel guilty anymore. Like
Yeah.
I don't have condemnation anymore. Like maybe I have a bad day every now and then, but it's just the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even like my own brain, like feeling trapped where I felt trapped in my own mind, like a prisoner of my own mind, which is actually going to be a book. It's like I don't feel that way anymore, and I have no desire to be out of my mind anymore.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's like the last 5 years have been complete, total transformation mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in every aspect of my life.
Yeah. Well, that's good, 'cause God, he wants us to be whole. It's just those spots in us that we don't know how to work out as far as like sexual trauma and some of those other things. And you do have to work them out. You just do. It's it I mean, I do I believe God can instantly heal? Absolutely. Absolutely. The majority of cases, however, though, it's walking through it and processing the emotion and all of the things. So, I'm really happy to hear that that's what like God has done for you in the last 5 years. I mean, man, that's awesome. At your and you're at a level of freedom now that you've never experienced the entirety of your adult life.
Being raised in church, like I had, you know what I mean? Like
I do.
Christians sit in church bound up and oppressed, and you know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like,
I do. I do. I
it's
do.
just crazy, but you have to also be willing to face the trauma,
Yep.
to feel the pain. You have to
Yep.
feel the pain
Yep.
and then allow God to dig that up and then heal you from that. And
Yep.
I think that's the part that keeps people from being healed, is they just don't even want to face it. They want to be healed and free, but you have to face it and feel it, and then the healing comes. But
Amen.
the freedom on the other side of that is beyond anything that I could, words can explain.
It's the life more abundant, right?
Yes, and
My,
still worth it.
amen. So is that is when you started this ministry, Women of Warfare, what did it come out of some of this like learnings about spiritual warfare and trauma and all of that? Is that how that was born?
Yeah, pretty much God. So 2 years ago, God gave me a vision. So I saw myself, it was an open vision. I was at a prayer meeting, and I saw myself basically like standing in front of myself, bending over with a full pregnancy. Like I could actually physically feel the pressure, but it was a spiritual pregnancy. And that was birthing the ministry. And then last summer, well, I guess it was like August, he gave me a dream, and instantly I gave birth. And I knew that meant that now was the time to like officially start the ministry. And then he gave me the name and Women of Warfare. And yes, it's all like, that's why the focus is on healing trauma. Because like a believer that is healed is going to be way more, a lot more, I don't know if productive is the right word, but efficient, more, we'll be able to help other people a lot more than, and bring more people to Christ if we're unhealed.
Yeah, so you're no longer in bondage, right? So you can help other people realize freedom in Christ through how you've experienced that freedom and the truths you've learned.
Yeah, that's a good way to, exactly, good way to explain it. Yeah.
And so I know you guys had, did you guys not have an event not too long ago at the Vineyard Church in Florence? Was
Yeah.
that part of the whole Women of Warfare?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I thought
So
so.
that was a youth event, a youth worship and prayer event.
Oh, got you. Okay.
And the Speak Life book, it is a youth devotional
Oh, it's a youth devotion. Okay.
teaching young people and youth how to speak life over themselves, their peers, their siblings, over each other. And it
Yeah.
has like declarations in there, scriptures in there, and like a little action point to get them to put action into what they just read.
Yeah,
And
that's
you know,
really
as
cool.
youth, if they can start speaking that life over themselves, especially for youth that maybe not have parents at home that, or an adult to lead them in that, is vital, is an important, and to hear from God from them for themselves.
Yeah, it's like a preventative type of thing, right? If you teach them
Yes.
young, that will keep them from doing like I was same as you a lot of my adult life. I was a believer, but I was in bondage. I was carrying a lot of unresolved trauma. And it was only until I started letting God unravel that and walk through that and got counseling and did all the things that I lived in my full freedom. And I think, man, what I mean, my life is ordained. All the days of my life are written in
Yes.
his book. So I'm not going to second guess that. But there is a part of me that thinks, man, how what would I have done had I been free sooner? So your book can help those that are younger realize their freedom that they can have in Christ earlier in their life. That's cool. That's really cool. And so this is available on Amazon. Is it on any other platform or is it just on Amazon? Is it an
I'm just
ebook as
on Amazon.
well? Or is it
What was
just
that?
the is it an ebook as well or is it just
Oh yes,
paperback?
it's an ebook too.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So folks, go out there and find that book. Anything else you care to share before we wrap up the podcast?
I think we've covered a lot.
We have covered a lot. We've covered a lot of really great stuff too. Like, super excited about what God is doing through you, what God will do in your sharing your story and being so open about the things that God has done in your life. I mean, that's epic. That's just
Yes.
epic. And it's life-giving to other people because you can say, I've been through these things. They did not take me down. I
Yes.
might not have been aware of them until this point, but look what God did. And God is able. And that's a lot of what I hear when you're talking about your story is God is able.
Yes.
We just have to let him.
Yeah.
Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing all that. That's so good. Someone out there needed to hear that. And I'm really excited about what God will do through your testimony.
Thank you.
Well, you're
I mean,
welcome.
it's we all have a story to tell, and it's to tell.
Yes.
It's not told. You know, it helps other people get set free and get to know a more intimate way too.
Yeah, like they've said many times in CST, you're only as sick as your secrets, meaning you find freedom in revealing your secrets
Yes.
because if you have just secrets that you never share, and you don't share them with everybody, mind you. I think I've
Right.
said that plenty of times in podcasting. You find a trusted person that you can share your secrets with, and then God will lead you as as you
Yes.
start revealing these things. It's just not letting those things be those secrets that you never deal with, that you never share, that you never talk about, you never let God unravel. And you
And
and I, what's that?
secrets breed shame.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Oh, true story. They do. They do. Because then you internalize it, and the only way you can explain a secret is you tend to blame yourself. It's like it's all about you. And that's what the enemy uses to keep us bound for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. I kind of hate to because I feel like there's just so many more things we could talk about. Maybe another episode because
Yeah.
I would like to have another conversation with you because it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But thank you for giving up your time and being here with me.
Well, thank you for asking me on, and I'm excited, and I feel just honored to that you would even want me to come on. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure.
That's cool.
Because you and I are friends on Facebook, I see a lot of what you're doing. And I mean, we're friends otherwise, but I
Yes.
see a lot of what you're doing and how God is using you. And that I just think it's super important to share that. So yeah, I want to say thank you. I'll put all your contact information in the actual body of the podcast. And so if people want to find you, they'll have a link to your book, to your Beautifully Broken podcast, which is awesome, and also to your Facebook page for Women of Warfare. So,
Okay.
all
Sounds good.
right. Well,
Thank you.
thank you, and we'll see you guys next time. You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.